We have come today to another lesson that we want to present that has been, I believe, misunderstood, and I believe I have misunderstood it in the past and have tried to teach more accurately on the subject under this same title. But we will try this again today, not only to test what we believe to be the truth, but also to encourage you to test if what we are teaching is confirmed by the Word of God, and then if so, to follow it, and if not, to correct us, and we will be glad to look at whatever correction may be offered, that our goal is always to find the truth and to preach the truth regardless of what it may be, that we may follow only the Word of God. The title is Three Prayers About God Forgiving Others. This is the second version under this title. Does God unconditionally forgive people? Does God demand that Christians unconditionally forgive others? And so this is the subject that we look at today. Many wrongly but sincerely teach that Christians are to forgive others without any condition of repentance being required. Before giving it thorough study again, I too believe this misguided and inaccurate teaching. Does God ever forgive anyone without the condition of repentance? That is, of changing our mind about our sins and turning to God. Does God demand Christians forgive others without the condition of repentance? And that is what is argued, that we are to forgive others whether they repent or not. And this is what has been taught, and what I have taught in the past, and what many teach even today. While we are not God and cannot know for sure if someone truly repents, the Scriptures are clear. They do not teach unconditional forgiveness. And I believe that is the case. The Scriptures do not teach that anyone will be forgiven unconditionally. And I don't believe the Scriptures teach that we should forgive anyone unconditionally, without conditions. We study three prayers by Jesus, Stephen, and Paul to learn about how we must forgive others. And this sort of goes along with the lesson that we taught last week, even though it's not in a series of lessons, on Jesus' parable of the unmerciful servant found in Matthew chapter 18, where he said that unless we forgive others, then God will not forgive us, so we ought to be merciful. And certainly we want to emphasize this in our lesson today as well. But we don't want to teach something that is inaccurate, and this is why we will study. Let's look at the prayer of Jesus from the cross. On the cross, Jesus prays for the Father to forgive his enemies. Let's look at that, Luke 23 and verse 32. Two others also who were criminals were being led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and the other on the left. But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots, dividing up his garments among themselves. And the people stood by, looking on, and even the rulers were sneering at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if this is the Christ of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up to him, offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." So that is the reading from Luke 23. And what do we have? We have Jesus praying for his enemies, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing." For what did Jesus pray on that painful cross as he was dying for the sins of his enemies, all of his enemies, including us, who at one time were his enemies? For God to forgive them of murdering him without obeying the gospel, including their repentance. Is that what Jesus was praying for? That his enemies would be forgiven in such a way that they would not have to repent? I don't believe that's the case. For them to turn to God and obey the gospel by believing in Jesus enough to repent of their sins, confess Jesus as the Son of God, and be baptized for forgiveness of sins. I believe that second one is what Jesus was praying for in regard to his enemies. He is praying for their salvation. And a lot of times we read this passage and we say, well, Jesus forgave them who were crucifying him on the cross. Nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus loved those who were crucifying him on the cross that day, but he did not unconditionally forgive them on that day. There was only one that was forgiven on that day, and that was the thief on the cross, one of the thieves that repented of his hostility toward Jesus, and we will get to him in possibly the next lesson. We will get to him because there is much confusion also about salvation and whether we need to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins relating to this thief on the cross. We will get to that next week, the Lord willing. Jesus died for the prayer for his enemies to be saved, or Jesus died for and prayed for his enemies to be saved by the gospel. So he is dying for the forgiveness of their sins that they might be saved. Matthew 26 and verse 28, "For this is my blood," Jesus said, "for the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." And Jesus said that we ought to love our enemies and do good toward our enemies, and that's what he was doing, praying for the salvation of his enemies, dying for the salvation of his enemies. Matthew 5 and verse 43, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he who causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." So Jesus died for and prayed for his enemies, but did he unconditionally forgive his enemies on that day for crucifying him? No, that is not what happened on that day. He is praying for the Father to forgive them, but the Father would only forgive them by the gospel, which is God's only power to save humanity. That is through Jesus and the sacrifice Jesus has made upon the cross. Jesus' prayer began to be answered when thousands first obeyed the gospel. On the day of Pentecost, some weeks later, after he had been crucified, when the gospel was first preached to a crowd of thousands of Jews on the day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem, the apostles guided by the Holy Spirit. Acts 2 and verse 22, men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus, the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs, which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know, this man, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. But God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held by its power. That is Peter preaching the Jesus, proving by miracles that he was the Son of God, that he is the Messiah, that he is God along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and then being crucified on the cross, man doing it for sinful motives, God doing it for the purpose of saving humanity and his love for humanity and desire for sin to be punished. Jesus being raised from the dead, even though man sought to kill him and did kill him, God raised him from the dead, proving that he is who he said he was, the Son of God. Acts 2:36, therefore let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. And it had been prophesied that he would die for our sins, Isaiah 53, that he would be raised from the dead, Psalm 16, his body would not be corrupted, but would be raised. When they believed in Jesus and heard that, even possibly some of those who stood at the foot of the cross when Jesus had been crucified. Acts 2 and verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles' brethren, indicating their Jewish relation, what shall we do? What shall we do, seeking to be saved, because they knew they were condemned in their present condition before God, even though Jesus had prayed on the cross, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. In crucifying him, they were still unforgiven of their sinful attitudes and actions involved in Jesus' crucifixion, as well as their other sins. They were unforgiven. God had not forgiven them. Jesus had prayed for the Father to forgive them of their sin or of the crucifixion, but they were still unforgiven by God up until that point. Jesus is now in heaven at the right hand of God, exalted to his right hand, as promised in the 110th Psalm. And in the 132nd Psalm, Jesus is promised, has been promised to be exalted as King and High Priest. And that is where he is now. And they said, what shall we do? And this is the answer Peter gave and the answer that we should give. Peter said to them, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The salvation that God intends for you to have through Jesus, that the Holy Spirit is revealing to you now, confirming it by Jesus' miracles and resurrection, and confirming it by the miracles the apostles would do by speaking in unknown languages on that day and the other miracles they would perform that day. But they said, repent, change your mind about your sins, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, immersed in water, that you may be forgiven. That is the type of faith we are to display if we are going to become Christians and be forgiven of all of our past sins. Not the sinner's prayer or through infant baptism or any other means. Just that simple, faith, repentance, and baptism accompanied by our confession before baptism of faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God that we can read about in Acts chapter 8, verse 32 through the end of the chapter, the Ethiopian eunuch. Those are the simple terms of faith that we are to follow to be forgiven by Jesus of all of our past sins. And on that day, that is when Jesus' prayer began to be answered, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they are doing. And all who obeyed the gospel on that day were forgiven by God, and we can be forgiven even today by God of all of our past sins if we are willing to obey the gospel. While being stoned to death, Stephen prays for his murderers to be forgiven. Acts 7 and verse 52. Which one of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? Stephen tells the Jewish crowd. They killed those who had previously announced the coming of the righteous one, whose betrayers and murderers you have now become. You're guilty of murder by putting Jesus, an innocent man, on the cross. You who received the law as ordained by angels and yet did not keep it. And that is cutting them deeply. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, cut to the quick. And they began gnashing their teeth at him. But being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and covered their ears and rushed at him with one impulse. When they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him. And the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Having said this, he fell asleep. So here is Stephen. Lord, do not hold this sin against him. And he is following the example of Jesus, as we are to follow the example of Jesus. Lord, forgive them of this sin, this murder they are committing against me. They do not know what they are doing. 1 Peter 2:21, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, Stephen following the steps of Jesus. But for what did Stephen pray? Again, we ask the question. For God to forgive them of murdering him without obeying the gospel, including their repentance? Is that what he is praying? That they may be forgiven without any conditions? I don't believe so. For them to turn to God and obey the gospel by believing in Jesus, to repent of their sins, confess Jesus as the Son of God, and be baptized for forgiveness of their sins. Is that what he is praying for? I believe that is exactly what he is praying for. And his prayer began to be answered when that young man named Saul of Tarsus, who was holding the coats of those murderers on the road to Damascus, when the Lord appeared to him, when he was going there to persecute more his fellow Jews. Acts 9 and verse 3, as he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do. And so he entered the city, and he was told what he must do by Ananias, who had been sent to him by God. Verse 17, so Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, he was not saved on the road, but God appeared to him on the road and told him to go into the city, and he would learn what he must do, by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight, and he got up and was baptized. And he took food and was strengthened. Now for several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus. Why was he baptized? Because he wanted to be forgiven of his sins, including the sin of helping in the murder of Stephen and the persecution of other fellow Jews who had become Christians, sins of which he had not been forgiven as yet, even though Stephen had prayed for it. Acts 22 and verse 16, Now why do you delay? Ananias told him, Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. Calling on his name. And so that's what he did. And that's when he was forgiven of all of his sins. Trusting Jesus enough, trusting God enough to cleanse him through the blood of Jesus as he went down into the water, repenting of his sins, confessing his faith in Jesus, and was raised up out of the water, having been buried with Jesus, raised up to walk in newness of life. Facing death, years later, Paul prays for God to forgive treacherous brethren. Brethren who had deserted and forsaken him as he was preaching the gospel across the Roman Empire. Now he is coming close to his time of death. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Be on guard against him yourself, for he vigorously opposed our teaching. At my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be accounted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. For what did Paul pray regarding treacherous brethren? For God to forgive treacherous brethren of their sins without repentance. Is that what he prayed? No. For them to turn to God by repenting, confessing their sins, and praying for forgiveness of their sins? Yes. This is what Paul prayed for, that they repent of their sins and turn to God, praying for the forgiveness of their sins, confessing them before God. That is how fallen Christians are to be restored back to God as often as needed, and we do often sin against God. We read an example of that in Acts chapter 8 and verse 21. Simon, who had been baptized in Samaria, had become a Christian, baptized for forgiveness of his sins, covets the power of the Holy Spirit, and he is rebuked by Peter. Acts 8:21, you have no part or portion in this matter, for your heart is not right before God, he told Simon. Therefore, repent of this wickedness of yours and pray the Lord that, if possible, the intention of your heart may be forgiven you. So Simon was told to repent and pray. He had acknowledged that his sin was against God. 1 John 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, Christians, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, we are to do that if we are going to continue with God. And that's what Paul was praying for, that the brethren might repent and confess their sins and pray to God to be forgiven. We must always be ready to forgive all who repent. And that is God's condition, that we forgive those who repent. We cannot always know for sure, but we know that that is the condition, that God forgives us and we are to forgive others. Matthew 6 and verse 14, for if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Luke 17, verse 3 and 4, be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day and returns to you seven times saying, I repent, forgive him. And then Paul, stating in Ephesians 4, verse 31 and 32, as we begin to draw our lesson to a close, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. And that would tell us that repentance is involved in forgiving others that they must repent as we repent toward God and change our minds about our sins, seek God's forgiveness according to his conditions. They are to be seeking God's forgiveness according to his conditions that he has given. And when they do, we are to forgive them. When they seek in that way, we are to forgive them as God continues to forgive us as we turn to him as well. But it is so sad that there is so much confusion. People want an unconditional salvation, or they want unconditional forgiveness from God as well as from others. And this is just not what God teaches us to do. There are conditions for God to forgive us. No matter if we meet those conditions, we cannot earn our salvation, but we can simply meet the conditions that as unworthy servants we might be provided mercy from a gracious and holy God that has done so through the blood of Jesus, our only means of salvation. We would encourage you to respond to the gospel before it's ever too late. We would encourage you to become a child of God by believing in Jesus as the Son of God, that he is God along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, that he is Lord of heaven and earth after dying for our sins and being raised and exalted to the right hand of God as King and Priest. If you believe that, turn from your sins to God, change your mind, repent. Confess that faith in Jesus as you see in Acts 2 and Acts chapter 8, especially verse 32 to the end of the chapter, where the eunuch confessed that belief in him as the Son of God, and then, like you and like all of us must do, was baptized, immersed in water in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of his sins. And you can do that as well, and we must do that as well if we are going to become Christians. We would be glad to communicate with you about this and find others to help you or study with you by Zoom ourselves. If you would contact us by text, email, or phone, we would be glad to hear from you. We would encourage brethren, Christians, once baptized into Christ, as we continue to sin, let us repent and confess those sins to God and pray for forgiveness, that we might continue to grow in his grace and his knowledge. And let us be always ready to forgive others who turn to the conditions that God has given for their forgiveness. And let us pray that they may do so, that they may be saved to become Christians or be restored back as fallen Christians. We would encourage all to respond before it's ever too late, as today we draw our lesson to a close.